This audio feature is part of Verizon's Future of Work research study. It is produced by FT Longitude in partnership with Verizon.
A new world of work is upon us. For some, crisis has been the catalyst for change, an opportunity to become truly future ready.
Perhaps in the past, we've celebrated stability of organizations more than our ability to change those organizations. I think right now it's really important we can change that organization and optimize to the opportunities as they arise more than we focus on the stability of the organization.
But for many, the pressure to adapt is proving to be a challenge, and inertia is the biggest threat of all.
I think there's a lot of agreement in boardrooms and in leadership teams, broad cross-functional leadership teams, about ideas like failing fast, moving on to the next thing, taking risks. But inherently what they're failing to do is building those psychologically safe environments where employees can feel very comfortable doing that.
A recent study by Verizon in partnership with FT Longitude highlights this struggle. 66% of business leaders admit that the pandemic highlighted strategic weaknesses in their organization. And 60% say they struggle to respond decisively to new market opportunities. So how are companies managing the impact of the pandemic as a catalyst for change? And what does it mean to be truly future ready? I'm Hannah Freegard, Managing Editor at FT Longitude. And in this audio feature, we'll take a look at how leading organizations are harnessing emerging technologies to deliver lasting transformation for their business, their people, and their leadership. A future-ready business requires new ways of working to deliver results. And Verizon's research shows that customer experience is the top strategic driver for today's organizations. To improve customer experience, leading organizations are accelerating their use of data and analytics. But they need to be careful about how they go about this.
A lot of organizations do not come at technology implementation from the customer's point of view, customer first, as we call it. Typically, people still look at new platforms, new technologies, new applications, think about or make a commitment to want to put them into their business without actually thinking how that will augment the customer experience.
Meet John Williams. He's the CMO for EMEA and APAC at Verizon. John says emerging technology has the power to reshape customer experience for the better, so long as organizations take the right approach.
Technology has a huge part to play in terms of, and which is relevant to my world as being a marketing leader, developing those far more personalized experiences. If we look at retail as an example, and we work with a lot of huge retailers across the globe, for them, this means allowing shoppers to pick their preferred methods of engagement. It could be in person, it could be digitally, or it could be, you know, a blend of both, depends on what they want. And then also enabling those better experiences through the apps we have on our phones, through social media platforms, and now increasingly the experiences, the personalized experiences that those organizations are looking to drive through augmented or virtual reality. Even now we're talking to luxury retailers about how they can augment their digital experiences in the metaverse.
While technology is enabling improved customer experience, organizations must also consider the role data plays in creating a future-ready business. How will the widespread adoption of analytics empower organizations to make better decisions and become more agile? And what does this mean for the way businesses operate?
Most of the data we use in business is lagging indicators. It doesn't tell you anything about the future. It's like trying to drive a car by looking in the rearview mirror. I'm Rita McGrath, longtime professor at Columbia Business School and author of the recent book, Seeing Around Corners. And I really work in the intersection of strategy and innovation with a particular focus on decisions made under uncertainty. So let's just take a practical example. We know from a lot of research that customer satisfaction is quite correlated with employee satisfaction. And so your level of employee satisfaction is often a leading indicator of subsequent customer satisfaction. And so if you start to train yourself to look for information like that, you can actually be more forward thinking in what you're looking at. So the second area that I think is changing with respect to data is how we are working and how information technology changes the way that teams can operate, the way that we collaborate, the way that we work together. And what we're starting to learn, I think, is that if you are working in a distributed way, if you're working remotely, that most of that work, if it can, should be done asynchronously. Meaning I don't need to be sort of collaborating with you every minute. I don't need to be sitting all day on Zoom calls or whatever. Instead, what we're doing is we're going from these, you know, traditional office-based communication tools to things like virtual and real-time collaborative ideas. So just as a specific example, we're going from emails and sort of documents sent back and forth to documents that live in some kind of technology-enabled space where you can access it, I can access it, we can make changes in real time. And so I don't have to wait for you to do my bit, you don't have to wait for me. And we all know what's happening in real time. And so technology can be an enormous enabler in fast, agile activity.
So mastering new ways of working is not just about remote or hybrid work. To future-ready their operations, companies must embrace agility and collaboration. Yet Verizon's research reveals that 61% of leaders are concerned about whether their current digital tools can support new ways of working.
I think one of the biggest challenges that organizations face as they start to adopt digital technologies to improve their ways of working is they get forced in two different directions.
That's Alan Brown, professor in digital economy at the University of Exeter's Business School.
One is they do need to make more efficient and increase the quality and improve the optimization of what they do today. And that we could call that an improvement in the state of the practice. But in the other side of this, they're also trying to leapfrog. They're trying to move ahead. They're trying to look at what the state of the art is. And they're trying to introduce state of the art improvements in their organization that sometimes are quite different than what they do today. And if we're not careful, what we see in those organizations is a sort of gap, often an improving and a growing gap between that state of the practice and the state of the art. And if you're not careful in those organizations, that causes quite a big tension. And the way I like to think about this is, imagine those two are sort of two extremes connected by a kind of bungee cord, an elasticated cord that becomes tighter and tighter as those two become further and further apart. That kind of tension in an organization, you can sort of feel it when you go into the organization. You can often see it in the way they operate, in the kinds of materials they produce online, in the way in which they deal with their employees and their stakeholders, their customers and their suppliers. And that tension becomes a real problem in an organization if it isn't dealt with.
To navigate this complex environment, one of the most important success factors for businesses is the ability to reorganize around new opportunities as they arise. Crucially, this ability must extend to an organization's most valuable asset, its people. Here's Alan again.
Some people refer to that as adhocracy, our ability to think about the ad hoc nature of the opportunity, the business, the way in which the organization needs to evolve, and to make ourselves flexible to be able to react to those opportunities as they arise. And that's a different style of management where you would organize, measure, reward, incent the organization in a different way than you would if stability was the thing that you valued.
So, which skills will organizations need most as they accelerate their transformations? And how can they attract the right talent? For businesses to embrace adaptability and become future ready, employees must be empowered to make decisions at speed. Here's Rita McGrath to explain.
That kind of information tends to first be evident where, you know, you have direct contact with customers or direct contact with technologies or direct contact with suppliers. You know, that sort of intersection between the organization and its environment. And to wait to make a decision on that information till the data comes all the way up to corporate headquarters and then goes all the way back down again. And it's usually shedding a lot of meaning along the way. So what you want to be able to do is create the conditions where people can safely take decisions at what I call the edges of the organization. They're able to make choices where they can really do experimentation, do trial and error in a safe way, but right out at the edge. So if you think about how we work in a traditional organizational setting, you have deep expertise lodged in functions. And that's not bad. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. And in fact, when you're in a relatively stable environment or you're in a situation where there's high risk, so you're flying an airplane or you're, you know, building a nuclear facility, you want that deep, deep, deep expertise in functions like finance or engineering or marketing or whatever. But if you're in an environment which requires a creative response, which requires new thinking or new ideas, a different kind of organizing makes more sense. And what that looks like is teams that have all the functions that they need to take an idea from beginning all the way through to the end.
To create the culture of trust needed for innovation to succeed, employees need access to the right information and to know that they are operating in a psychologically safe environment. Yet our research shows that only 26% of business leaders have implemented a fail-fast approach to innovation. Verizon's John Williams says that removing a necessary process is the best way of overcoming this for both employees and leaders.
Risk-taking is stifled by one thing, and that's overburdensome and bureaucratic process. And that really, if organizations are truly committed to empowering their employees to become risk takers, to challenge the status quo, to look for new opportunities, to feel safe when they're doing that without fear of recrimination, then there has to be an ambition to challenge a lot of the processes that are inherently in place within big companies. And look, there's lots of people within big organizations that are just there to build new process. And what all new process does is it slows down decision making, it reduces agility. Admittedly, you have to have control over the business, but there has to now be a balance. And I feel that a lot of big companies are far too complex and that they really do need to look at relieving all of that burdensome process from the business.
Could technology once again hold the key to enabling more adaptable skills and behaviours within organisations? Alan Brown again.
A lot of digital technologies are already starting to see some real value to organisations. And we can talk about many of those, like artificial intelligence and machine learning, and the fact that we've got cloud-based infrastructure underneath, which gives us more flexibility and elasticity in the way we look at our organization or our infrastructure. I think that there's many of these sorts of technologies that are relatively well understood. They're complex to introduce, and there are many barriers to their successful adoption. But we do understand how they should be applied, and there's a lot of energy around those. That's important, and it will make a difference. But what I'm seeing is one of the bigger areas that is perhaps underrepresented is to rethink about how do we model the kinds of environments in which we work and operate. Some of this is picked up in things like digital twins, our ability to build models that are digital representations of perhaps the operational aspects of our solutions or the infrastructural aspects, or more of the process and procedural aspects of our organization.
Turning our focus to leadership, technology is empowering those at the helm of business to undertake bold efforts in the face of ongoing uncertainty. Verizon's John Williams says this is critical for leaders as they work to balance much-needed business growth with rising expectations over social responsibility and ESG performance.
Generally, businesses, they must prioritize solutions that cut down quickly on their carbon emissions and in line with, you know, scientifically informed global targets that we've all got now. So that's things like looking to cut build times within their manufacturing processes or product development processes, adopting predictive maintenance, improving their supply chain and logistics processes. You know, or a key one that's close to my heart is virtualizing their digital infrastructures. You know, all these measures can contribute significantly to, you know, great efficiencies. I also think that the developing innovative partnerships that help to uncover those new business models and seeking to exploit the emerging technologies of that low carbon economy that we're all seeking, you know, are going to be essential for all of us to tackle those climate issues. I think essentially this comes down to all organizations challenging the conventional thinking that they have within their sectors, challenging the status quo, which will enable, you know, a more innovative thought process and a more digitally enabled ecosystem.
Leading organizations are also considering the mix of skills and capabilities within the leadership team.
You do need to infuse new leadership, new talent, new thinking, huge diversity of background, of culture into the leadership team. If I look at our leadership team, it's a very diverse set of skills. And with that, I think you get a really good blend of input into strategic decisions. You remove yourself from that echo chamber.
And as Alan Brown explains, there are three areas where leaders should focus their attention.
The first is what I'll call leaders acting as engineers, which is trying to build the right kinds of solutions that they need for the future. It could be being involved in the products and services. It could be the processes that are needed. It could be redesigning the organizational structure. So they act as engineers in re-engineering the organization. So some leaders spend a lot of time dealing with that, going into the theory of it, experimenting with new organizational structures. The second is that leaders have to act as what I'll call evangelists. They have to get out in front and start to talk about why. They have to inspire people. They have to say, this future is really important to us. And this is why we'll go through some pain. Change always implies some pain for a number of people. This is why we'll go through that and why it's important to get out the other side and why you need to accept some of the challenges that this will bring. So that idea of being an evangelist is really important. And then the third area is you have to be an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur really is about, how do I bring all the pieces together? How do I marshal all of the different forces in order to provide the new kind of value that my organization can see realized in some reasonable time frame? And I think that idea of how you bring those pieces together and how you build those relationships and look at the partnerships or the ecosystem around you in order to build that becomes really critical as a leader.
So exactly how can businesses take the bold risks needed to drive transformation amidst ongoing uncertainty? Rita McGrath agrees that this new world of work requires a new approach to leadership.
When you're in an environment where there's a lot of uncertainty, the demands on leadership really shift to me. And what you're doing as a leader is you're creating context. You're providing people with the guidelines. You're saying, this is what we're aiming at. This is what good looks like. This is what success looks like. But then you're having to really cede control.
And for the organization as a whole? Well, perhaps to be truly future ready means having the technology, data, skills and leadership necessary to embrace new opportunities as they arise, regardless of what those might be. A final word from Rita.
You have to get comfortable with establishing clarity of vision. So be kind of consistent on the horizon you're aiming for. What's the goal that you're going for? But to get there, work backward. And what I recommend is take your planning to a lot of detail about the next, I call them checkpoints, the next moment that you can be fairly certain you're going to hit, and plan for that. And then once you've got there, look around and say, okay, what have I learned since the last time? Let's plan for the next checkpoint. So instead of this monolithic planning process, which a lot of us have been forced to do, you know, instead of these long-term plans, what you want to do is have a long-term vision, but break it into short-term actionable pieces.
This audio feature is part of Verizon's Future of Work campaign. It is produced by FT Longitude in partnership with Verizon. Thanks for listening.